Last week, I talked about how connecting with people in real life, connecting with people you already know, and building your network is the go-to strategy for finding new leads for your business, especially when you are in the first couple of years. But you may have tried that at one point and felt like it didn't work. Today, I want to talk about why it didn't work and what you can do to change it around so that you know that if you make some effort to connect with people, it is going to translate into prospects and sales. You're listening to the No BS Agency Podcast. We talk strategies that can take your 1 to 2 person branding agency from $5,000 to $30,000 per month without hiring employees or working your ass off. All you have to do is cut the BS. I am Pia Silva. Picture this. You go to a networking event. You get all dressed up. You don't feel like going. You drag yourself out. You spend a couple of hours schmoozing with people, feeling a little awkward. Maybe you have a few nice conversations. A bunch of people shove business cards in your hand, and you leave at the end of the night exhausted and feeling like, what did I even do tonight? Was there any value in that? And the truth is, maybe there wasn't. I can tell you from personal experience that I have spent many, many early mornings and late nights at networking events over the years where I could have just stayed home and watched a movie because there was almost no value to me going to that event. And sometimes that's because the event kind of sucked. Sometimes it's because the people there were really not the right people for me, or they were just really too new in business and it wouldn't be helpful, and you can't win them all. But most of the time, it was because I didn't know how to get value out of these events. And if you don't know how to use the events correctly, if you don't know how to have connection so that it actually increases the likelihood that it's going to lead to a referral, a prospect, an opportunity, and a sale, then you might as well stay home. So today I want to talk about what you can do to increase those chances and what you're probably not doing that would dramatically change your networking game and your ability to build those connections quickly and effectively so that when you talk to people, there is a higher likelihood that it's going to turn into some opportunity. Now, I want to start by saying that no matter how good you are at the things I'm about to talk about, no matter how much you nail them, it doesn't mean that you're going to bat 1,000. Nobody does. No matter how amazing you are not going to convert 100% of people you talk to into clients. Why? Because most people are not your clients, right? Like, most people don't need your services. We are looking for that small percentage of people that actually have a problem that they need solving, that they know they need solving, that you can solve. So let's remember those expectations before we discuss what you can do. Because what we're really looking for when we're building our network and connecting with people and making sure that all the people that know who we are know what we do and who we can help, what we're really trying to do is make sure that that small percentage of people, I think I've heard that at any moment, 3% of people are actually ready to buy. And another like 10 to 20% are not going to buy, but they're going to buy at some point in the future. If we know that to be true, our job is to make sure that we are putting our best effort and making our best move so that those 3% and those 20% absolutely know who we are and know how we could help them. Okay, so that's our job. I think one of the problems with putting yourself out there and the reason so many people avoid it is because there's this deep fear that you're going to get rejected. There's a deep-seated fear that people don't want to hire me. Like, my people aren't out there. Nobody needs my services. Nobody wants to hire me over other people. And what you need to do when you are putting your business out there is you need to remember that no matter what stage of your business you're in, there is always a client who is an ideal fit for you. When I was charging $300 for a logo, that person was an ideal fit for us. Were there other companies who would have been better with their process? Absolutely. Those companies would have charged a lot more and that client wouldn't have paid it. right? So there's always a match out there for you. And I think that putting on the perspective of my people are out there desperately looking for me. If I was sitting at a table with that exact person, they would 100% see that I was the perfect ideal fit for them. If we go into connecting with people knowing that those people are around and our job is just to find them, our job is not to convince people that we're a good fit for them when we're not. It's to make sure that those people that do need us and are the kind of people that want to work with us, those people know we exist. That's our job. Okay. One of the biggest mistakes people make when they are out there networking and connecting with people is that they aren't clear. They aren't really clear about who they work with. They aren't super clear about the problems they solve or how they help. They aren't super clear on their ask. They aren't direct. They don't give the other person an action. They don't give another person a reason to remember them. They don't say something memorable. And I used to do this. If I would go to an event and I would talk to 20 people and I would tell them all, oh yeah, I have a company and we do graphic design for small businesses. Everybody would say, oh, you seem nice. Oh, that's great. A lot of people would even say, oh, I'll keep you in mind. What they mean is, I wish I could keep you in mind. You seem like a nice person. I'd love to help you, but I'm going to turn around and talk to this other person and I'm not going to remember who you were after that. Even if I took your business card, I'm going to pull your business card out of my bag later. Well, this was a long time ago. Nobody does this anymore, right? I'm going to pull your business card out of my bag later and go, who was this? I don't remember. And that's it. So the first thing we need to do is we need to look for the opportunity to make an impression with clarity around who we work with and how we help on the spot. So I'll give you an example. I have a client, Trisha, who works with female dentists. And she has an incredibly badass, really vibrant point of view, voice, and brand. So she pairs female dentists, which is her niche, with this super electric, her company is actually called Electric Paradise Creative, super electric brand and vibe. Those things together, if I was talking to her at a networking event, I would immediately be able to place who I could refer her to. If I knew a female dentist, I would immediately introduce her to them. Not because I would be trying to pitch her to them, but because a female dentist who's super cool, I would think, well, you should definitely know that Trisha exists because at some point you might want to rebrand and this is like literally what she does and she is clearly amazing at it. It doesn't always have to be so specific in an industry. Not at all. My company, Worst of All Design, our niche was 1 to 3 person service businesses. But when I would meet people at a networking event, I would say, we create badass brands for 1 to 3 person service businesses in 1 to 3 day intensives. And after I said that, I would end up having long conversations with people about our process, about what I mean by the word badass. I would say, we say badass brands without the BS on our homepage. And what I mean by that is, and I would explain all the BS in our industry, and I would explain all the BS of the processes that most projects go through. And I would explain why we're different. There were so many things I could tell them that were specific to how we do things that it immediately would remind them of somebody who was definitely going to be attracted to this more edgy brand. They were a 1 to 3 person service business, right? And they are somebody that might be interested in this unique process. So it doesn't always have to be industry specific, but you got to give them something that is more than, you know, I do graphic design for small businesses, you and everybody else. That's number one. You got to be super clear on who you help, how you help them, what's specific about you. I know that's easier said than done, but it's something that we are constantly working on inside No BS Agency Mastery. And in fact, people who are in our program, they will be evolving what they say over months working with us. What you're saying right now, it will get better. It'll get more specific as you work with more clients. So it's okay if you don't have a totally great answer for this right now. It's something that can be evolved over time as you go through the process of building your business. The second thing that they're not super clear on is the ask. So I coach my students on I have a very specific script for this, asking for a case study client. Now we teach a process called the lead product process, and it's a very specific process that we take people through so that they don't have to write free proposals. They actually sell the first step in the process. But using this script, we give them the words on how to make a very clear ask that says, hey, I'm looking for this specific kind of person for this case study opportunity. Do you know anybody? And if you are clear enough with that and you're speaking to somebody live, that person, sometimes, not always, will immediately think of someone and go, oh, I know exactly who might be a good fit for that. And this is, again, not a hard sell, because it's really easy to make an intro to somebody that you say, hey, this person's looking for a case study client. Maybe that is you. Do you want to have a call with them and see, right? There's an implied urgency and scarcity in that. There's an implied urgency because you're not going to need this case study client forever. And there's an implied scarcity because you're not going to need that many of them. So it's really an opportunity for the person that's making the intro and the person they're making the intro to. And by the way, case study doesn't mean free. Some people think that requires it to be free. Absolutely not. I've done lots of case study clients for hundreds, if not thousands of dollars. Okay, so that's two, having a really clear ask. That doesn't have to be the only ask, though. There are other great asks that you can make of people that you connect with, especially somebody that you like vibe with, that you have good rapport with. You can ask for other introductions. If you are, for example, Trisha, and you're working with female business owners, you might ask, hey, I'm looking to meet accountants who have dentists as clients. Do you know any? Or just accountants in general, right? You can think about the tangential worlds that would also be servicing your clients. For Trisha, it might also be, do you know anybody that is connected to certain organizations that these women hang out in, or certain companies that service dentists because they are manufacturers for their materials? She might ask for connections to or ideas of places that she could go to meet more of these women. But for Trisha, she would probably also, because she's so specific in who she targets, she can also much more easily attend events that are specifically for this demographic. So while I do not ever say that people must have an industry-specific niche, I really don't believe that. When you do, it's much easier to be in a room full of your ideal clients. All right, so be clear about who you work with, how you help them, be memorable about it. Have things to talk about so that there are ways to light that part of the brain up for people. You want to disrupt their thinking. Give them something to hold on to. Give their brain something to connect with so that they can actually come up with a name. Because the best way to get a referral or an introduction is to get the person you're talking to think of the person they would introduce you to on the spot. They're not going to think about it later. So you have that conversation to spark some ideas from them. So the more specific you are in what you talk about and what you're looking for, the easier it's going to be to light that part of the brain up. And then the third thing is have a clear follow-up process. So one thing that I used to do is I stopped giving out my business cards, honestly. I felt like my business card is a waste. I didn't even want to give people my business card because I didn't want people that I didn't want to talk to contacting me. So instead, what I would do is I would say, oh, I'm out of business cards, but I'll take yours. And then I would take people's business cards and then I would write notes about what we talked about on the business card and remind myself of exactly what I wanted to follow up with them on. And if you've been to networking events, you know that people's follow-up is dreadful. So if you're the person that follows up, you're already light years ahead of everybody else. So I would just make all my notes on those business cards. And before I even went to an event, and this goes for online and offline events, I would put in my calendar after, maybe the day after, or if it was a daytime or morning event, maybe later that day, I would actually block out in my calendar the time that I would put aside for follow-up. Because it's so easy to pull all of this information and then go about your day, you know, jump back into your work and forget about it. And a couple days later, all of a sudden the memories are gone. So it's really important to put that time into your calendar ahead of time so you can make the most of this effort. I think that's the thing that I learned early on that I was doing wrong, was that I was putting a lot of effort into showing up and talking. I wasn't making the most of it because I wasn't being clear about what I was saying. I wasn't asking for anything. I wasn't making sure I followed up. I mean, I'm actually a very extroverted person. I would have a great time. I would talk to a lot of people. Be like, that was fun. And then nothing would come of it because I didn't have all of these intentions on how to make the most of these interactions and how to take from that event a couple of people that would now be part of my network. That's another thing I like to do and recommend. Anytime you're going to go to anything where the intention is to make connections, go with a goal. Say, hey, I want to meet 10 people that are related to marketing. 10 people. These are the kinds of people I want to meet. And when I started doing this, I would actually set myself a goal and then say, hey, once you've met those 10 people, you've gotten their cards, like you can leave, right? Because I didn't ever want to go to these events, to be perfectly frank. I never wanted to go to them either. But again, I'm an extrovert. So by the time I was always the last one to leave at the end because I was having so much fun talking to people. But I would give myself that out because I needed some sort of motivation. I needed some clarity around how am I going to know that this wasn't a waste of time? And that came from having a specific goal. And maybe there aren't 10 marketing people there, but maybe because that's front of mind for me, people I'm talking to, oh, you're an insurance broker, you're a real estate broker. These are so unrelated to me. Do you know any people that you could introduce me to that are, that are video people, marketing people, PR people? Like, do you have anyone that's really connected that would be interested in building, like connecting with me? You have to remember that when you put yourself out there in these situations, you're surrounded by other people who are trying to do the same thing. And people love to help. So if you make it easy for people to help, they will help you. And somebody will say to you, oh yeah, I know the perfect person. I can totally make an intro to you tomorrow. It's your job to say, great, what's their name? Write it on their card, put it in your pocket. And the next day, when you have that time set aside, pull it out and email them. Hey, so great meeting you. You mentioned you would introduce me to this person. This is their name. They're in PR. Here's a little bit about me. If you want to just make the intro here, that would be awesome. Make it super easy. I guess that's another thing to do. Make it super easy for people to take that action for you. Take that step. So when you follow up, make sure you write in the body of the email what you asked. Again, remind them. And a little bit about you. You can, if it flows, you can put it in the email or you can put it after. You could say, hey, by the way, like my bio is below just in case if you wanted to like send this off to somebody to see if they wanted to chat with me, that would be great. Make it as easy as possible for them to make those introductions for you. And then keep track of all of this. So what we have inside Mastery is we actually have tools to track every person that you're speaking to and every new connection that you're making. And what it does is it allows you to see over time the efforts that you're putting in and what kind of results you're getting. It also allows you to see if you're actually getting results or if you're just moving in place. So when I was going to events, having a great time, not doing any of the things I'm recommending on this episode. If I had been tracking those results, I would have seen zero results and I would have realized, oh, why am I doing this? Stay home and enjoy yourself. You don't need to go out to these events if you're not going to get anything out of them. But it also would allow me to see, oh, maybe I need to be a little more strategic about what I'm doing. The other benefit of tracking all the people that you're talking to is that you can now go back and follow up with those people and stay in touch with those people. There are people in my life who have been amazing over years and years that I met while I was networking years and years ago that continue to follow up with me and reach out to me every so often. Little touch point here, little, hey, want to grab a call here. Like those people stand out in my mind and there are very few of them. I met over 1,000 people in person that first year of business. I know because shame on me, I don't think I knew it was illegal at the time, but I put everyone I met on my email list. So my email list, when I first started, it had about 1,000 people on it. And those were literally all people whose hands I had shaken at some point or another. So out of those 1,000 people, there are like a small handful of people that continued to stay in touch with me. And that's incredibly powerful. So I share that because if you're thinking that other people are doing this and you're just one of many, you're not. Most people are unable to keep that follow-up going. So even just keeping track of these people, and you wouldn't believe the kind of business that years later continued to come from that core group of people that I met. Because in all honesty, after I did this really intensively for about a year, year and a half, I stopped doing it. I stopped doing it because I had enough of a network. I didn't need to meet more people. My business didn't need it because I had enough people to stay in touch with that it fed me business. And that enabled me to invest in phase two, which I talked about last week. But I did that really intensively for a year and a half. And I started with knowing, it felt like I knew nobody. And I didn't know any of this. So I didn't even think to reach out to people I knew, like my friends and my college friends. I just started from zero. And I built an entire network just meeting people out in the world. And if I had been doing it now, I would have definitely been meeting people online as well. I didn't even get on social media for the first 3 or 4 years of our business. I basically was not online at all. This was all built through connections and new connections. And I share that because I know a lot of people listening and a lot of people I talk to, they're like, but I don't know anybody, so I'm never going to be able to do this. I am telling you that I started with knowing zero people, refreshing Craigslist over and over again. And through the efforts I made, first joining BNI and then going to events and all of that, I did it intensively for about a year and a half, and then that was it. And I guess the last thing I will say is circling back to the very first thing I shared, where sometimes you go to these events and nobody there is going to be helpful. Like, it's just a bunch of, you know, people who are wrong for whatever reason. They're just so new. They don't know anybody either. You got, you know, everyone's just chicken with their head cut off. There is so much value in going to those in the beginning too, especially if you don't feel super confident and comfortable having that conversation about who you work with, how you help them. The best people to have those conversations with are people that don't matter. Like, people who are not going to be that helpful, because there's nothing to risk, right? There's no risk just talking to people. And I think in retrospect, what was great about a lot of the networking that I did in the beginning that was not fruitful is that I was practicing talking to people about my business. How do you think I landed on, you know, worst of all design, we create badass brands without the BS for 1 to 3 person service businesses, 1 to 3 day intensives. Like, that did not come from just sitting in my house writing. That came from talking to people and telling them and noticing, I wasn't doing this intentionally, but like noticing what worked for people and what didn't, right? Like noticing when people's ears perked up, just talking about having to answer the hard questions when people said, well, what does that mean? And, you know, badass, that, like, ooh, you know, that's inappropriate. I mean, I definitely have people say that to me. This was back in, you know, 2013, which feels like a lifetime ago, that people thought badass was like a curse word. But, you know, all kinds of conversations. Why worst of all design? Why badass? What do you mean no BS? I mean, so many questions that obviously the first time I got them, I was a little deer in headlights. Be like, oh God, I don't know. I don't have a great answer for that. But having that conversation over and over again was the best way to build these answers and get really comfortable talking about this. I've got an answer for everything because I've had this conversation so many times. And you can't skip that step. The reason I tell people to just jump right in and start talking to people is because if you got in touch with your dream client, and I'm not just talking like someone who would be a good fit, like your dream client, like someone on the upper echelons of your dream client, and you don't have your shit together when it comes to confidently being like, oh, yes, you're exactly who I help. Here's what I do. Here's how I do it. This is the next step. You know, just super smooth and clear and confident about all those things. That dream client is not going to hire you, because they're going to hire the person that does come across as confident and clear and all of those things. And you can't get to that level of confidence and clarity if you aren't practicing talking about this stuff. I feel like I don't hear that anywhere. It's like one of the most important things is practice. Just like in anything, practice makes perfect. So, you know, throwing yourself into these situations where you may not have all the answers and you may feel like you're stumbling over your words, like, that is totally natural. The first time I was in one of my first BNI meetings, and I had to stand up and I had to give my speech, and I was literally shaking and I was terrified and I was, you know, who knows what I was even saying. It wasn't fun. That was scary, but I don't do that anymore because I did that so many times. And I just think the best way to, you know, grow out of any sort of insecurities or get more clarity around how you speak, or even building the words and figuring out exactly what words are going to work for you and going to resonate with your clients. The best way to do that is to be talking to people and to be trying these things and saying things and being okay with flubbing it, being okay with, you know, mumbling your words and not quite getting it out right sometimes, and or trying something and like, ooh, that didn't land, right? Like, those are the steps to getting confident and clear. And having clarity and confidence is what's going to make your networking work. It's what's going to make your communications work. And guess what? It's going to translate to amazing copy in your website. It's going to translate in phase 2 to amazing content. It's where you're going to get clarity around what you should be talking about in your authority machine. It's what you're going to use when you start creating that content that draws people into you. If you want leads to come to you without you having to, quote, go get them, You need to be saying something that's going to resonate with your people. And if you aren't super clear on what that is right now, the best way to go find it is to talk to people and try this stuff out. And it's not easy. You know, I don't want to pretend that it is. It's hard work. And probably the hardest part about it is doing things that are scary and challenging. It's a big reason that we have such a huge community aspect to No BS Mastery, because inside our community are so many other people doing the same thing, sharing, oh, I don't want to do this, or I tried this and it didn't work, or I'm feeling really scared about this, or I'm having an aversion to this. And then hearing other people say, I know, me too. Or hearing other people say, oh my God, I felt that way too, like 6 months ago, but let me tell you what happened when I did it anyway, right? So having people at different stages of this growth, being able to share their perspective, both being able to commiserate and being able to tell you from maybe a little farther ahead what happens when you do it anyway. So getting that kind of support, having people cheering you on, knowing that other people are also doing things that are really hard and kind of doing them together. I don't know how you grow a business without having colleagues and friends like that doing it alongside with you. I know it's hard. I know I couldn't have grown my business if I didn't have all of these other friends around who I could talk to about it, and I could hear their stories, and I could hear their ups and their downs. And guess what? I still regularly have meals with some of the people that I met when I was networking 10, 12 years ago. I have a regular brunch with a friend of mine that I met in BNI, and our businesses are completely different now. And we're talking about huge wins and huge losses, you know, huge mindset shifts and huge sticking points. And I don't think that will ever not be true, because we're always growing and we're always growing our businesses, and you need your people around you. You need people who understand, because I don't know about you, but a lot of the people that I knew before I started this business, they don't know what I'm talking about. They cannot relate, and it's hard to have empathy or be there for somebody when you kind of don't have any idea what they're going through, and it all sounds so foreign. So we all need those people in our lives. And that's just the community aspect of No BS Agency Mastery. Of course, inside the program, we're actually teaching step by step how to grow a No BS agency. It's specifically for 1 to 2 person branding agencies who want to scale to $20,000, $30,000, $50,000 months without employees. Or at least the goal right now is to scale profit. We want to scale profit, freedom, and ease. We want to make more money working fewer hours, and we want to do it with less stress. And that's what the whole No BS model is all about. So if that sounds like something that you could use a little more of in your life right now, go to nobsagencies.com/program. Check out the video on that page. See if this is an exciting prospect for you. See if this model seems like, man, yes, I want that too. That's who's in our program. People who are like, I want that. That is the business model I love. If it doesn't resonate with you, totally get it. It's not for everybody, but it is definitely for the people who come into our program. And we're very specific about who we even invite in, because we want to make sure it is a perfect, perfect fit. NoBSAgencies.com/program. That's all I've got for you today. I will talk to you next week. I hope you enjoyed this episode. I'll be back next week with more No BS tips for your agency, so you can find more profit, ease, and freedom. The No BS Agency podcast is produced by Yellow House Media. Coordinator is Lou Blazer. This episode is edited by Marty Seafelt. Creative direction by Sean and Tara McMullen. Our theme music is Knock 'Em Down by The Shrugs.